This is Jerry Davis. I'm the artistic director of Burning Coal Theater Company in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to Into the Fire, the Burning Coal Theater Company podcast series on all things theatrical and some things not. Today, we have with us a very special guest, Reverend Dr. Nancy Petty of Pullen Memorial Baptist Church. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
We're excited about having Dr. Petty here. On October 6th, we will open our 20th season here in Raleigh and our 9th season at the Murphy School with David Hare's great modern masterpiece, Skylight. Skylight deals with a very successful mid-career businessman, a restaurateur and hotel owner whose wife has died recently of cancer and who decides that it's time for him to try to reconcile with an ex-lover, a younger woman who he had had an affair with over a period of years. And so he sort of barges into her apartment in the bad part of town where she lives and where she teaches at a public school in London. And Skylight very much has to do with issues that are important today, though it was written at the tail end of the Thatcher administration in England. Dr. Petty, your church, Pullen Memorial Baptist Church, is not your typical Baptist church. Is that a fair thing to say?
I think that's a very fair thing to say.
And how did that come about?
Yeah, so our church is named after a man named John T. Pullen. And John T. Pullen was a businessman here in Raleigh. He was a banker, a single man all of his life, and was a member of First Baptist Church here in Raleigh for a number of years. That's where his family went to church. And John T. Pullen was known as a single man who often frequented the bars, the local bars in town, the pool halls. He was very concerned about the poor of Raleigh, particularly women and children, orphans. And so he would often visit places where these women and children would be trying to make money. And so the church got at odds with John T. Pullen about his whereabouts and how he was spending his late evening hours. And so they called him on the carpet. That's what churches did back then if someone wasn't living the way they thought they should be as a person of faith. And so they called him on the carpet and said to him, "You need to change your ways. We hear that you've been spending more time in the places that we don't think you should be. And if you don't, then we will excommunicate you as a member." So in other words, he was being called on the carpet. And so this infuriated John T. Pullen. And he got really angry, and he had no intent to go to this meeting where he was to answer for his behavior. But he was very close to his mother. And as the story goes, as he tells it, as he heard the church bells tolling that day, he also heard his mother down on her knees crying and praying for him. And so he decided to show up to the church for the meeting. He did ultimately repent of his wrongdoing as the church saw it. And he asked in that to begin a mission church, which was the Fayetteville Street Baptist Church on Fayetteville Street. And as the story unfolds, the mission of that church, because it was such John T. Pullen's passion, was to be a church that ministered to the poor and the marginalized and the outcast. And so that was in the very DNA, the blood of the church, when it, from its very beginning, from its founding moment. And
that was in the Reconstruction era?
That's right. That was in the Reconstruction era. And what happened was the church burned. I think it was struck by lightning and burned on Fayetteville Street. And then the church was moved to where its current location is on Hillsborough Street. At that point, it was still Fayetteville Street Baptist Church. But when John T. Pullen died, the church met in conference the following Sunday and voted to rename the church Pullen Memorial Baptist Church. The significant part of that is that when John T. Pullen died, the headline in the News and Observer that next day was, "The poor have never been as poor as they are today. John T. Pullen is dead." And so that set the foundation. That is who we are as a church, that is our DNA, is to be a church that ministers to those that otherwise churches might not welcome in and accept and minister to.
We don't look away from them.
Right, right. Exactly.
Excellent. That's extraordinary. And among the extraordinary efforts that your church has been involved with over the years, you were very active in the late 50s and early 60s in the civil rights movement here in Raleigh.
That's correct. The pastor during that time was a man named Reverend W.W. Finlater, Bill Finlater. And he was well known in this community. Bill spent a lot of time writing editorials to the NNO, opposing things like the Vietnam War, the death penalty. But he was very much a statewide leader, actually, not only in Raleigh, but a statewide leader and a national leader in Baptist life around the civil rights movement. And Pullen, during that time, during Bill's tenure, was really known as the only white safe church that black people could show up to and feel like they were safe and be accepted and included. And so Bill was on the front lines of that movement, of the civil rights movement. He marched with the civil rights leaders of the day. He wrote editorials. He preached sermon after sermon on civil rights. And angered a lot of people at that time as well. But he was very well known in this state and beyond for his work in the civil rights
movement. He would have been a blogger today, no doubt.
Bill definitely would have been a blogger.
If not a tweeter.
He had a lot to say, and he would be putting it out there.
Yeah, very good. Now, I wonder, so obviously, Mr. Pullen's legacy was part of that. I wonder if the proximity to the university and perhaps also to the historically black Oberlin community,
right,
was part of that,
yes,
as well.
That's a good point. So when the church moved to its current location, part of that developing mission was to then be a church that ministered to the university. And so over the years, we've had quite a good relationship with the university, mostly with faculty and the administration. A lot of our members were working at that institution, whether they were on the faculty or in the administration. At one point in time, there was a pretty significant ministry to students. It was when the Meredith students were required to go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so they would load up in a bus and come to Pullen. And so the male students at NC State
figured that out quickly
and they came. And so during that era, there was this really big boom of college ministry, yeah, at Pullen. And we don't have that really going on right now. We do have graduate students a lot who come. We find that kind of our the way we do ministry is a little bit more suited for those who are a little bit older, and you know, college ministry is, you got to have a critical mass in,
yes,
order, and yeah, and sometimes it, yeah, so we don't have as many college students, although we have a growing booming young adult group in our church, young professionals. But yeah, so we have, there's a unique story there too about the university with Reverend Finlater. There was, I'm not sure what year it was, but there was a dispute with the workers at NC State, the cafeteria workers, the custodians, mm-hmm, the union, I guess, as you would say, the union workers. And they got into a contract dispute with the university, and Reverend Finlater sided with the workers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many of his congregants were the faculty and the administrators were in this sure. conflict. And so it created quite a conflict as he became outspoken against the administration and around those issues. And so there's a lot of history mm-hmm. between our church and NC State. The majority of that is a very good history. We still have a great history with them. As you know, maybe the chancellor's old house sits beside our church, and it is no longer the chancellor's house, but it is the Gregg Museum, the art museum yes. for NC State. Yes. And so we're working very closely to create a campus-like feel between our church and the Gregg Museum and work together on that.
Well, it's something that's critical. Our summer camp for high school students is going on in the other room. So
I hear them.
If you think that someone is being drawn and quartered in there, that's just actors doing their warm-ups. In Skylight, in David Harris Place Skylight, the young woman who has rejected the more financial rewards, I guess, of that sort of lifestyle has become an educator herself and has sort of gravitated toward the poorest part of town where, frankly, it seems at least the students couldn't care less about what she has to offer to them. And so part of the battle there in the play has to do with the question of is it appropriate to what some might call cast your pearls before swine, and others would look at as, reaching out to a community that's desperately in need of reach. And on the other hand, the rewards of a life led in an individualistic manner and in a manner that perhaps is suitable to a person of intellect and passion, right? And she, this character, is very passionate, very enthusiastic, very much a go-getter and a doer, but she has decided to put her efforts in this community that doesn't seem to be interested remotely in what she's doing. And so we see that, that sort of playing out across our culture today, the conflict between individual rights and the rights and needs of a community as a whole. And we've certainly seen that in the presidential campaign that's happening this year. Gay rights is a big part of the ministry of Pullen Baptist as well. Can you talk a little bit about how that has progressed through the years?
Yeah. So, Pullen has always been a church, as I've said, that's welcoming and open to all people. But in the early 90s, the pastor at the time was Mahan Seiler. And in late 89, 90, early 90, a young couple, a gay couple, two men, came to Mahan and wanted to talk about their relationship and possibly being married, having a holy union, a same gender blessing for their relationship. Mahan had already been struggling with this issue and around the church's response to homosexuality and marriage equality. And so he began a discussion with the leadership of the church, the deacons, very kind of private conversation with them about his own struggles and where he was and feeling like that he was, in his own discernment, being called to respond to this. But he didn't want to do it in isolation. He wanted the community to be a part of this. And so he asked the leaders to go into a discernment process about whether or not our church, Pullen Church, would be an open and affirming congregation to the LGBT community. And furthermore, would we consider doing same gender covenants for gay couples? So the church went through a long process of, over 6 months of holding house meetings and discerning kind of what our response needed to be to this. And the couple had specifically asked for a blessing. And so it was not easy. It was not an easy conversation. But in the end, the church voted on several things, voted to become a welcoming and affirming congregation. This was in 1992, February of 1992, 25 years ago. It really is an amazing story that a Southern Baptist church in the South is having this conversation 25 years ago. Yeah. But they voted to become a welcoming and affirming congregation. They voted that LGBT people would have full membership into the church if they so desired, and that we would perform same gender covenant blessings. And so that kind of rocked the Baptist world at the time. It was not only national news, it really was international news that this church had made this decision. At the same time, there was another Baptist church in Chapel Hill, the Olin T. Binkley Baptist Church, that was also trying to discern about licensing a young man to the ministry. And so they had voted to do that. Well, when all of this came down and both churches made the statements they did, the Southern Baptist Convention, of which we were a part, they at their June annual meeting voted to disfellowship our two churches. Mm-hmm. Never been done in the history of Baptist life, but we were kicked out at that point in time. And so that began that history specifically. I mean, Pullen had always been this, as I said, open place, but in that moment, it became very clear as to who we wanted to be and who the values that we were going to live out in terms of equality. And so we lost some members over that, but gained many more. I think one of the fears that people had was that we were going to become the gay church. That has not happened. We have as many people coming and joining our congregation who are heterosexual as we do who are from the LGBT community, because many of these families are saying, I want my kids to grow up in a church environment where everybody's welcome and accepted. And so, you know, from that moment on, we've made other steps. Back when Amendment 1 was coming through North Carolina, I went to the church and said that that I didn't feel like, in good conscience, I could not any longer marry heterosexual people who were members of our church, while the gay members were not afforded the same legal right as heterosexual. And so the church released me from my duty of having to officially marry people. We still did blessings of unions in our church, but the church went beyond just releasing me of my duties. They actually made a statement which still makes me very emotional when I think about it. When I asked them to do that, they went beyond what I asked, and they said, you know, we're not gonna allow anybody to marry in our facility, in our church building, until there is marriage equality. We can bless people's relationships, and we'll do that all day long, but we are not going to encourage our ministers or force our ministers to be agents of the state and sign marriage license when the laws are unequal.
If the state is forcing you to work under a clearly unconstitutional philosophy,
right,
or action. We will be doing our second play of the season is a play by David Edgar, who's a British playwright known in this country for the play Nicholas Nickleby, which he adapted back in the 80s from Charles Dickens. But David has written a play recently called Written on the Heart, which is about the creation of the King James Bible.
Yes.
It covers the approximately 80-year period between when William Tyndale translated the Bible from Latin into English through the King James's convening of a series of ministers from different faiths to effectively create their own version of the Bible. And about 80% of what they chose was Tyndale's, but 80 years before, Tyndale had been burned at the stake for daring to translate the Bible, the Word of God, into English. Never mind the fact that it was not originally written in Latin.
Right, exactly.
But Latin was the language they wanted because they wanted to control the, you know, how people interpreted the Bible. And so it seems to me that your church is part of a long history of people. People saying we think we'll control that history ourselves. Thank you.
Right, right. That is the many people don't know this, but Baptists are founded on four fragile freedoms, and we are a free people, and we believe in soul freedom, religious freedom, church freedom. We believe in the individual's right to interpret the scriptures, to discern to God's Spirit moving. In whatever way we feel God is calling us to do that, we don't have any kind of intermediary step in that, whether that's a board or a bishop or anything like that. We are free people in a free church tradition, and so we kind of do our thing, and we believe that's what true Baptists are about. Now, that's not the Baptist you see in the world today for the most part.
No, that's a Baptist that's skewed more toward a political position, it seems to me. If ever there's a place where politics should step outside the building, it's religion.
That's
it seems
right.
to me. So
that's right. Separation of church and state's one of your
foundational
ideas.
Yeah. Well, excellent, Dr. Petty. We appreciate your taking the time today to come by and talk with us a little bit about your extraordinary home at the Pullen Memorial Baptist Church. And we'd look forward to seeing you at Burning Coals sometime. I think you'd like some of the work we're doing.
I have been here before to see some of your plays and have enjoyed them thoroughly. I do want to say one last thing.
Please.
I don't know if you'll put this
sure.
in there, but about the character in Skylight, the woman. So at Pullen, we don't have a mission statement, but we do have this a scripture passage that we live by, and I would even call it kind of the drama that we're unfolding daily as we understand our call to be people of faith, and it's from the prophet Micah, and that the passage says, "What does God require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God?" And so that's kind of what we live out at Pullen and what we're trying to act out in the world every single day as faithful people. And I think when you brought up about the female character, the educator in this, we don't often get to see or know or understand how what we're doing in the world makes a difference. And that's And even in those moments where we're not sure if someone is receptive to what we're offering, regardless, we're to do justice and we're to love kindness and compassion and we're to walk humbly with God. And so I think anytime we're doing that, we have to release what the outcome is and just live into what we know we're called to do as people of faith.
Trust that will ultimately be the right thing.
Exactly.
To do. Yes. Very good. Well, that's interesting. One of the things about Skylight that's makes it a remarkable play is that David Hare, who wrote the play, although he's clearly very left-wing, if you've ever read any of his essays or anything like that, he's clearly very left-wing. He's very good at giving full voice to his conservative characters, and you don't walk out of the theater clear on what's going on, but you do think about both positions, and you see the humanity behind both of them. And so I hope that fits into that description of how to do theater as well.
Exactly.
So,
great.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Petty.
Thank you
so much. Thank you.